On today's feast, we celebrate and we worship the most holy body and blood of Christ, the Eucharist. Often we still use the Latin expression for the body of Christ, the Corpus Christi, or now it's Corpus et Sanguinis Christi. So ito ang dakilang kapistahan ng kabanal-banalang katawan at dugo ng Panginoon. Many people still think of the Eucharist as a symbol of Christ. So let's get that terrible mistake out of the way right from the start. The Eucharist is not a symbol of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ. It is his real presence, really his body, blood, soul, and divinity. The Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. So forget that symbol business. We're talking about the real thing. In fact, on this side of heaven, we can't find anything more real than the Eucharist. We can't get any better than this. We can't get anything higher, more holy, or more valuable. This is the summit. This is the high point. The best. Of all the sacraments, only this one is called the most blessed sacrament. All the sacraments are blessed sacraments, but one of them is the most blessed, the Eucharist. Because in the other sacraments, we receive grace. Yes, abundant grace. But in the Eucharist, we receive the source of grace. We receive love, divine love. Jesus himself is very simple. Now, before we reflect any further on this amazing gift, this bread from heaven, let's take a brief look back to last Sunday when we celebrated the Most Blessed Trinity. Last week, we took a moment to look into the heights, to peer into the mystery of God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, his own inner life. Can't get anything more basic than that, or more holy than that, or more mysterious than that, more awesome than that, God himself, the Holy Trinity. That was last week. Now, on the surface, or at least to someone without faith, or someone who doesn't understand the Eucharist, it might look like what we focus on today is the opposite, at the opposite end of the scale. Because last week, we were in heaven, celebrating divine life. And this week, we're on earth, focusing on something so fundamental to life on earth, food. Food. The Trinity stretches our capacity, beyond our capacity to understand, even to imagine. But eating food, I mean, that just seems like the most ordinary common activity of all. We eat every day. We eat many times a day. It's a basic necessity of life. Lots of people never think about the Trinity. But no one never thinks about food. No one never thinks about eating. We think about eating every single day. If we don't eat, we die. So it might seem like any concern about eating is not connected to heaven and to the Trinity. But this feast, today's feast, corrects that wrong impression. Because there is a food that is directly connected to heaven. There is a food that comes from heaven. There is a food that leads us to heaven. And that heavenly food is the Eucharist, the Corpus Christi. There have even been documented cases of saints who lived for years only on the Eucharist. You've heard of those saints? Yeah. That's their only food. And they lived for years just receiving Holy Communion. That's it. That's all we need. At least that's what the symbolism is. Okay, so we're talking about an amazing, miraculous bread from heaven. But if that's the case, then why don't people seem to know about this? Why is this as if it's forgotten or neglected. Why don't people make more effort to receive Holy Communion? Why do people not even bother to come to Mass? That's where this feast comes in. That's why we have this feast. This is the Church's way of refreshing our knowledge of what the Eucharist really is, overcoming our ignorance about the Eucharist, and also inspiring our love, our devotion, our dedication. We really should love Jesus in the Eucharist more. We really should appreciate the Most Blessed Sacrament more, more and more. That's what this feast is. More and more love for Jesus in the Eucharist. After all, he's waiting for us. He's waiting for us in every Catholic church, in every tabernacle, in every adoration chapel. We know we have an adoration chapel right over there. In every Mass, he's waiting for us in the Eucharist. He's waiting for us to welcome his love, to love him in return, to adore him, to receive him. Now, one of the biggest challenges to faith in the Eucharist is that it simply doesn't look anything like what Jesus says it is. In today's Gospel, we hear that Jesus picked up unleavened bread from the Passover meal, and he says, "This is my body." And then he picks up a cup of wine, and he says, "This is my blood, the blood of the covenant." That's what he says. Who are we to disagree with him? He says, "This is my body." What right do we have to counter what he says and say, it's not his body, it's just a symbol of his body? But it doesn't look like his body, right? It still looks and feels and tastes just like ordinary unleavened bread. And the wine doesn't look like blood, it looks like wine. So how can this be? Well, the wonder of this gift lies in the change that takes place at Mass. The change that takes place on the altar, the change that takes place in the hands of the priest, without any change of the superficial appearances, without any change in the outer form. An extraordinary change takes place. And the Church, using the technical language of philosophy, says this is a change of substance without any change in the accidents. The term used is transubstantiation, which simply means a change of substance. A change from one thing into something else. In this case, from bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Wow. Does Jesus have the power to perform such a change? Of course he does. Of course he does. He changed water into wine. He walked on water. He multiplied loaves. He rose from the dead. Of course he has the power to do it. There's no limit to what Jesus can do. For God, nothing is impossible. But why does he do it? Why change bread into his body? Such a strange thing to do. He does it for us. He does it to be with us. He does it as a way that we can see and touch and even taste him. No, God is always with us. Jesus Christ is always with us. He promised, before he ascended, he promised to be with us until the end of time. I am with you always. That's the promise. But he knows that we tend to forget promises if we can't see them. We rely so much on our senses because that's what it is to be human. We're living in bodies, and our bodies are our way of experiencing things. So if we can't see or touch something, well, we might forget all about it or even doubt that it exists. So Jesus establishes a way for him to remain with us always, not only spiritually, but also sacramentally, in the form, in the appearance of bread and wine. So we might feel like God is nowhere to be found. Maybe there's no God. We might feel like he's far away, or that Jesus is from a time, a long time ago. But in the presence of the Eucharist, we rediscover that he is right here. Right here, right now, close. I hope you get that sense when you walk into a Catholic church. It's unlike any other place, because in a Catholic church, there is Jesus in the Eucharist. He's so close that we can eat him. He's so close. That's how much he wants to show us that he really wants to dwell with us and in us. So that's what we're celebrating today. Now let me just offer one last thought on this beautiful and joyful feast day. Jesus in the Eucharist remains present here in the tabernacle. It's basic truth of our faith. That's why we have tabernacles in churches, in Catholic churches. Big golden cabinet with candles and flowers, and right here in the center. And that's why when we enter into a Catholic church, we genuflect, or we kneel, we bow down in honor of Jesus who is here with us. That's true. But Jesus does not come and become present in the form of bread just to be there. He takes on this form to be here, right? To be with us, to be in our hearts, so that we become the tabernacles, living tabernacles. That's what he wants. And that can only happen if we cooperate, if we make a space for him in our hearts. If we get sin out of the way, repent of sin, any obstacle to God's life in us, and we welcome him. That's why we say at every Mass, at every single Mass, we say, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. I'm not worthy to have you come into my heart, for me to receive you in the Eucharist. I'm not worthy. Of course I'm not worthy. Who's worthy to receive the flesh and blood of God? Well, none of us is worthy, but we say to the Lord, I'm not worthy, but you can make me worthy. Only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. Only say the word. And not only say a word, but make your word become flesh, and then make bread and wine into that very same flesh, the same flesh that was present at the Last Supper, the same flesh that hangs on the cross. Make that flesh available in the Eucharist. And that's what he does. We say, Lord, say the word. And he has said the word so that he can be here with us. He can wait for us right here in this great and awesome gift, in this greatest possible food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord.